Neil.
It's a major shift from President Trump.
Let him get their land back. It could be that Russia's a paper tiger.
The president, on the day of his UN address, saying, quote, I think Ukraine, with the support of the European Union, is in a position to fight and win all of Ukraine back in its original form.
After his address to the UN General Assembly, the president met with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Today, Zelensky will address the body at the UN. Jimmy Kimmel was back on the air last night following his suspension by ABC for speaking out after the Charlie Kirk killing. Nextstar and Sinclair station owners, however, still refused to air the show on its affiliates. Typhoon Ragasa, one of the strongest storms in years, has been whipping up waves and turning rough seas on China's southern coast. The typhoon killing 17 people in Taiwan, 10 in the Philippines. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Sauk County will hold a hazardous waste clean sweep event Saturday from 8 to noon at the former Sauk County landfill in Baraboo. Clean sweep is an opportunity for homeowners, agricultural enterprises, and businesses to dispose of hazardous products and items that pose an environmental risk, such as pesticides and toxic cleaning products. Hazardous waste will be collected at no charge. However, there are fees for tires, some electronic items, and appliances. Please remove all batteries from electronics prior to the event. To have a successful and safe event, please follow these rules. Stay in your vehicle at all times while at clean sweep. If you are or recently were ill, please stay home. All items that are being dropped off should be loaded into the rear of the vehicle, trunk, truck bed, or trailer. Pharmaceuticals, IVs, needles, latex paint, and motor oil will not be accepted at the Sauk County Clean Sweep event. Latex paint is non-hazardous, but it must be solidified before throwing away. It's easy to dry out. If you have a small amount, simply remove the lid and allow it to dry outside. Mix larger amounts with cat litter or a paint drying product sold at hardware stores. Never dispose of liquid paint in your trash. Residents can drop off unwanted medications at various police departments throughout the county and at the Sauk County Sheriff's Department. For more information regarding the Sauk County Clean Sweep Program, contact the Land Resources and Environmental Department at 608-355-3245 or conservation@saukcountywi.gov. You can also visit co.sauk.wi.us/landconservation for a more complete list of accepted items and alternative disposal options. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew trying to avoid the sweep today after losing another late night game on the West Coast, 7-0 to the Padres in San Diego. How can a team with the best record in baseball get shut out? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
When balls aren't falling or borderline pitches or strike threes and things like that, that's tough times. But you got to get through it. Every team goes through it.
NFL, the Packers making a move, releasing veteran receiver Mecole Hardman from the practice squad last night after losing to the Browns on Sunday. The team signing a rookie speedster, Jacoby Keeney-James, out of UMass, who spent some time with the Lions. Matt LaFleur on being beat by a Browns team that had not won a game since last November.
I just think this league is such a week-to-week league, and you can never lose sight of that, and you can't take any game for granted. The goal is to go 1-0 every week. It pisses me off when we start talking about things outside of the next game.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low 50s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. More sunshine for Friday, a high near 80. Currently, it's 56.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA+ rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is a huge export in Wisconsin you might not even be aware of. We are talking to the Cranberry Growers Association as we go beyond the cheese.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on a Wednesday morning, September 24th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot standing by as well. Coming up, we will have the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underley, joining us for our weekly homeroom segment. She recently gave her annual State of Education address at the state capitol, and will be talking to us more about that in our next half hour. And we have Brittany's forecast coming as well. But as you know, this week we've brought back one of our Text to Win contests. It is time for today's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Yes, green and gold. You'll get cash and jewelry for the prize of the day. Of course, you need the Civic Media app. Look up a station. Use the text button. For the 7 a.m. hour here, once I give you the word, you will have until 8 a.m. to text it. There will be seven chances throughout the day, each with different keywords. So seven chances to enter each day. Of all of the day's entries in this multi-state, multi-station game, one lucky winner is going to get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. And then one really lucky winner for the whole enchilada will get the grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play some football. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd. There's a gas card to get you to the game as well. Total value of the grand prize package is more than $1,500. Now, the first time you enter, you are likely going to get a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity like signing up for a newsletter. Winners will be contacted by Civic Media within 5 business days, first by text message. Full contest rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, if you got all that, then I can give you the new keyword for this hour until 8 o'clock. The word is morning, like morning of the day, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. You get till 8 o'clock to text that, and then you've got another chance in the 9 a.m. hour with Jane and Greg for Matinair on Air, and then throughout the day for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Again, the keyword is morning. All right, Brittany's here now, and we have another foggy morning here on Lake Wissota. What the advisories were, just basically the northwestern portion of Wisconsin, right, Brittany?
Yeah, it pretty much goes from Winona, Eau Claire, all the way up towards Hurley, and then everything north and west of that line, you're in the dense fog advisory, but there's still fog creeping into places northeast as well. So Minocqua, Eagle River, you're still seeing that. But it is pretty thick, especially north and west, huh, Pat?
Yeah,
you can see far.
It is. I mean, I can't take the pontoon out right now. I just couldn't see where I'd end up on the golf course across the way. So
that would be eerie.
Yeah, we need a little sunshine or something. What you got in store for us?
I got a little bit as we go later on throughout the day. More and more will peak out. Further south in the state, though, you're going to have to wait maybe until tomorrow to see more sunshine. You do have a chance for some spotty sprinkles on occasion. but no heavy rain or anything like that. It would just be a sprinkle here or there. So less clouds later in the day. We're looking at breezy winds out of the north today. A beach hazard statement, too, from Milwaukee through Racine and Kenosha. Those waves are building up about 3 to 6 feet out there, so not a good beach day. And temperatures right now, about 55 or so to 60 degrees for a majority of us. It is mostly cloudy, and we will make it today to the mid-60s to about 70 degrees. So slightly cooler today than the past few days. Then we start our warm-up tomorrow. Slow at first, but it really bumps up as we go into the weekend and next week. So tomorrow, a few mid to upper 70s scattered throughout the state. Friday, all of us hitting the upper 70s and then nearing 80 by Saturday. And then places south will be hitting 80 all throughout the weekend and into next week. A lot of places north flirting with that as well. And it's going to be dry and sunny, and you won't even need me for a little while because it's just going to be gorgeous. Mwah! Out there.
Well, we'll need you. We'll take it. Yeah, just a reminder. Keep reminding us how beautiful it is. Rob yes. says, good morning from Tigerton, cloudy and 54. I have mowing jobs in Wittenberg today. One of the places where I mow in Wittenberg, Rachel's Roadside Bar and Grill, made it on YouTube's Best American Restaurants. I couldn't make it to the broadcast because I had to work. I mowed two huge yards in the rural areas of Tigerton with no cell coverage. Yesterday, it was a very beautiful day till the clouds came out in the late afternoon. No fog right now in Tigerton, just cloudy. But Brittany always brings sunshine anyway, regardless.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
And Tony, of course, being up in Ashland, talking about the green and gold contest. Forget the tickets to the football game. It's the gas card. He's like, you're going to pay for my gas too? That's like getting another ticket.
True.
which is true with what they're charging for gas to get from Ashland to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know if Tony can win, but all of his neighbors in the Ashland area, they could.
That's funny.
Tony's like,
but I want to go.
I want gas. I'll go. I don't even have to watch the game. You're giving me a gas card.
Somebody else can have a ticket.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, Tony then can give him away in his own way. But anyway, Brittany, thank you so much for the update. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you next hour. All right. Hey, remember, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. At that point, you can see Ellie talking all about music. Turns out Ellie's a fan of some of the older music here, and some of us appreciate that very much. In fact, I like it so much. I think that starting next week in this time slot, we're going to bring Ellie on to talk more in person about what's in the newsletter. I think we've given her enough of a grace period, and we now need to subject her to this radio show. And so look for that starting next week. But she's busy working on not just, you know, getting used to the new digs and everything, but she's working on a special fall edition of the newsletter that'll come out this Friday. It's all about fall festivals and Oktoberfests, and get ready for some spooky sights as we get closer to Halloween. So, I mean, if you're looking for ideas for weekend road trips or things right in your community, go get signed up for the newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage. And while you're doing that, sign up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter. For that, you got to take your browser over to Substack, specifically civicmediatoday.substack.com, and get the best of all the shows. Of course, you could also take the shows with you. And to do that, well, go over to Spotify while you're doing all this surfing. Just get it all done. Get over to Spotify, follow this show and all of your other favorite Civic Media shows. And that way you're never going to miss anything from what we do throughout the course of the day here on Civic Media and at Up North News. Speaking of Up North News, and over on our Facebook page, we were looking at, you know, some of the posts and, you know, monitoring some of the comments, because every so often you get a troll in the comment section. And we got somebody in the comment section. I don't know that he would consider himself a troll, but he does a lot of trolling out there. That'd be Derek Van Orden. That's right. The congressman jumped into our comment section about a story that we did late last week about all of the threats that he's making to people's employment and threats to cut federal funding to like entire cities, like Eau Claire, like the entire Mayo Clinic system, because he doesn't like what some people said about the Charlie Kirk murder. And he wants to equate it to domestic terrorism. And I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. And so when we noted in our article, you know, the ways that what Derek Van Orden is doing runs counter to the First Amendment, he got in our comment section, and he said the following: not all speech is protected speech. 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. We will not be sending money to organizations or municipalities that keep people on their payroll who advocate for domestic terrorism. For people who advocate for domestic terrorism. That's what he thinks when people put up posts that indicate that they were not fans of Charlie Kirk. So as for that citation that he made, we just put up a post. You can find it on our social media sites where we correct the record. We note that in the U.S. Code, Chapter 18, Section 2331, Paragraph 5, does indeed outline domestic terrorism. It covers activities that are dangerous to human life or try to intimidate or coerce a civilian population or influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. We read it. We read it again. Did not see anything in there about social media posts that make a congressman angry as somehow defining domestic terrorism. In fact, that law that Van Orden cites does not designate domestic terrorism as a crime. It defines domestic terrorism so that people can be charged with other crimes like murder and hate crimes and weapons violations. But by Derek Van Orden's logic, countless free speech posts seem to him to, quote, advocate for domestic terrorism and could be punished by the government. And so we ask people to get in the comment section and tell us, do you agree with him that when people were criticizing Charlie Kirk or simply echoing his words back, is that not protected speech? Because Derek Van Orden said, not all speech is protected speech. And he's right about that part of it. There is hate speech. There's the, you know, yelling fire in a crowded theater type of speech as well. But posting on social media that he didn't like Charlie Kirk and it leads to, I mean, perhaps 1,000 posts by now from Derek Van Orden. In fact, the Washington Post took note of it. They have a new article this morning, co-written in part by Patrick Marley, who was at the Journal Sentinel for a long time. And the Washington Post article focuses on a teacher in Ellsworth, Krista Lysecki, who was looking at the coverage about Charlie Kirk and grew exasperated because not enough was being made of the horribly racist and hateful things that he said. She tapped out a Facebook post about it, and it was where we actually first saw Derek Van Orden threatening to cut all funding to the city of Ellsworth unless this teacher was fired. Well, she has been suspended with pay, and she's waiting to find out if she will be fired or otherwise disciplined. And she told the Washington Post, people are upset that people wanted to silence Charlie Kirk, but they're not upset that I'm being silenced. I may not be proud of what I said, but it was my right to say it. And that is really what it comes down to. And it's the point Jimmy Kimmel was making yesterday as well when he came back on air, was that the First Amendment works best, works to its utmost, when it protects speech that you don't like, that you don't agree with. That doesn't make it domestic terrorism. That doesn't even make it hate speech. It's simply something that you didn't like. Might make you outraged, but as long as you don't instigate violence or government threats as a result of it, then the First Amendment is doing what it's supposed to do. So Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters, as he has. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants, and he does. And he can cite a specific chapter, section, and paragraph of the U.S. Code about domestic terrorism. But he said, read it. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt. Still to come, we'll be talking to the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We're taking a little bit of a detour this week on the Recombobulation Minute so I can tell you about a brand new project we've been working on here at Civic Media that we're really, really excited about. So here at the Civic Media Network, we produce a tremendous amount of content on any given day. From our news team all over the state to our daily lineup of political talk and commentary shows to our many podcasts and weekend shows to local morning shows to all kinds of digital content, there can be a lot to keep up with. But now we're bringing you a new way to find all of this tremendous content all in one place. It's a new email newsletter called Civic Media Today. Like the Recombobulation area, it also publishes on Substack. This is going to be your one-stop shop to connect with everything across the Civic Media extended universe, from podcasts and live streams of your favorite shows to the latest on everything happening across Wisconsin. So go subscribe to Civic Media Today.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're talking about Riverdale Schools at the start of the school year here on the morning show today. Jeff Campbell is in, along with Jesse Kinney and Callie Coe. You did the math while we were on break there to figure out where the 4Kers would go. What is their class year?
We're looking at 2039. So, yeah, as of right now. So that's thinking next year's 4K group around 2040. That's hard to believe we're there.
Yeah, 39, 39, 30, 30, 39.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're working on it already, I bet.
So. Last time you were in, Jeff, you talked about the track upgrade. What's the process of that? Is it getting done?
Yeah, we are. We're kind of at a waiting point right now. We're just waiting for the painter now. They took care of everything within the last about 2 weeks ago. They finished up the entire top layers of the track, the couple layers they had to put on, and now we're just waiting for the finishing touch, which should be within the next, I would say, week or two, as they kind of roll through their system. That painter usually follows the crew through and is finishing up one right now, and that will be the last thing. So we've got it kind of blocked off right now, not for community use at this time, so that we can have that all settled and ready for the painter when they come. They can take care of it, and then it'll be open back up to our community. So hoping within the next, I'm hoping for the homecoming game, it'll be open and done, and the community can see that. So kind of took an unfortunate situation that wasn't in the works to have done, you know, this soon, and just kind of something we needed done for our kids and our community. And we had to, we were lucky enough to get the people in here to do that. So we're not waiting another year for the track to be ready for our kids and community to use.
Is it like a brand new track now? I mean,
it will be.
Lifespan,
yeah,
and everything?
Well, my hope, it better be. Okay. I got to say on my end of things, it should be ready to roll, and we shouldn't have to worry about doing anything with it for usually about 7-8 years. And you got to do a little bit of spot checking that stuff. But yeah, as far as that goes, we should be in great shape for a good period of time and shouldn't have any issues with it. And that'll be great for our community to have.
Will you be hosting conference meets coming up then again?
We will. We actually, with the issues that we had last year, we had to give up the conference meet just out of safety precautions. And so we went ahead and switched with Boscobel. So we'll be hosting the conference meet, not this year, but the following year. So we flip-flopped with them. And, yeah, that will be a that was unfortunate we had to do that, but it was in the best interest of all the kids and the teams.
What about other facilities? Any other upgrades you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I think just our facilities in general have we were awarded three different WIA events this year, and that's not always the case. I don't think for our facilities. So just wanted to kind of highlight that a little bit. We're going to be hosting D4 volleyball sectional final this year at Riverdale. One of probably the first times. You know, Jesse can speak to that. I don't know if we've hosted the sectional before or
no.
Sectional finals. So I think that's, you know, that's a big thing just to kind of showcase our facility. And, you know, who knows, our team, we want to push to, you know, it's something for our girls to look forward to, you know, playing in that game in your home gym would be a great thing. It's a good goal to have. And then we're also, we're going to have D3 baseball sectionals this year, which we've hosted a number of years for that. But just I think it's another highlight on our facility that we have, that, you know, teams that come and play there feel like during a sectional tournament, which is a very important day for programs in that, they go back to the WIA, they express their gratitude of the way we run things, and we are able to get that. And we're also doing D3 or D4, it would be softball sectional final. So that's the opportunity to kind of showcase our new softball field that we put in a couple years ago. And we've done that, I think, about once before. We had it at the JC Park, but now with our new field right there on campus, it's going to be our opportunity to host that, and I think and highlight one of the best softball fields in the area. And Coach Hinkle's looking excited to that. And once again, you know, all three of these events give your kids a little bit extra incentive to say, hey, we want to be playing there on that day. But it also showcases your school district and the way we do things, and you know, brings in some money in your concession stands for your clubs and that too.
Definitely. So, you have to get workers there and things like that.
We will. Yep. And Kurt's already working on that. And when we were awarded it, he's got pretty much everything planned and ready to go for each event already. And yeah, we'll look ahead to that. The softball will be a little bit interesting. We'll have to kind of close down some road area there for parking purposes and just getting people in and out, but it'll be a short little spot there on the corner block, but just a beautiful facility. We got plenty of seating. It'll be a great opportunity for, you know, if not our community, then two communities to come in and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you for selfish reasons, because, you know, if it's a local team, I don't have to drive 2 hours.
There we go. I'm always thinking of you too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Fall sports well underway, and again, the big part of homecoming next week is football on Friday night. You'll host Boscobel.
Yeah. I think that's always the battle for the paddle. We've been able to come out with that the last couple of years. We have it up on top of our office at our high school, and they'll bring it out next week out to the field to kind of get during practice week, and it'll be out there on the field for the game that night. Kind of a neat little thing to kind of have that battle between each other. And it's always fun. It's always a good game. It's always a competitive game, and both communities and both teams take a lot of pride in that. So I think, you know, like I said before, we'll have all of our programs, junior high through high school, participating at least, not necessarily all home, but they're at least participating that week. So that's, you know, exciting for that. Volleyball has their game on Thursday night with Cuba City. That'll be a big game for our team. And then cross country, they're going to participate in their home event October 11th. That's always a highly attended event, always fills up the area around there, and it's a great course and a fast course, and it'll be a good date for our cross country, not on the homecoming week this year, but 1 week later. But it's a great event to showcase our cross country team.
Hadn't talked about that much. Do they have great participation this year?
They're doing well. Yeah, yep. They've got a team in each level, and that's what you're always looking for. Can make out a varsity team, and at both the boys and girls level, which is great. And, you know, our girls have had a little bit more success this year, have a couple top runners up towards the top, and a good solid team and a good solid group. So they've placed well at their meets under, you know, a first year head coach too, and Jamie Bumpcam. So he's done a great job. He's assisted by Shay Clicko, which is a new teacher within our school district, has done a great job adjusting to that role along with coaching in her first year of teaching. Never easy to do. And they had a lot of fun this past Thursday night at the fun run. The night run for the Greg Bell Memorial Run in Boscobel was a neat little event for them.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report. Well, the weather might have thrown a few surprises at Wisconsin farmers, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's been great for grazing. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We've got the markets and that story with one of our University Extension grazing specialists on the way.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Jason Cavadini, University Extension Grazing Outreach Specialist, says with the cooler weather that we had this growing season, perennial grasses have thrived. And he said that's great news for anybody that's grazing.
It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So, like, typically we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. This year that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor, if at all.
That's Jason Cavadini. He's one of our University Extension grazing outreach specialists. And he said, while those perennial grasses were able to thrive this summer, he said, believe it or not, September and October can be some of the best part of the growing season for those cool season grasses. In overnight electronic trade on a Wednesday morning, right now, December corn's unchanged at 426. November soybeans currently down to at 1010. Right now, the July wheat for next year up a penny at 562. Yesterday, barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 161. 40-pound block cheese, that was up to at 163. Double A butter on Tuesday down to at $1.68 a pound. This morning, the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 17 cents at 1727. November currently up 9 at 1669 a hundredweight. There's your market update on a Wednesday morning. I'm Pam Yonke. Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low 50s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. More sunshine for Friday, a high near 80. Currently it's 56.
Matt and Air on Air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes. 24 hours on every network that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man. Yeah.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Angels of Dirt director and record producer Wendy Schneider. Civic Media's David Grant tells us how you can take over a radio station for a day, and wrestling announcer Rich LoCascio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back. A reminder that our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest is going on this hour. And the key word for this hour is morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, like the morning part of the day. Text morning using the Civic Media app before 8 a.m. and you will be in the running for a daily prize, which is $200 and a gold-plated chain. See green and gold. And also in the running, every entry is in the running for the grand prize, which includes tickets to a Green Bay versus Minnesota game in Green Bay, playing a little football in the month of November, and a gas card to get you there. Again, details at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.com. But morning is the keyword to text before 8 o'clock. And then your next chance to win, and there's seven chances every day, your next chance to win the 9 a.m. hour on Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Time for our weekly homeroom segment where we talk about public education, opportunities and threats. And the threats are out there, but there are people who are willing to lead and call them out. And one of those folks is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, who joins us this morning in the wake of her annual State of Education address delivered last week. Well, Jill Underley, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning to you too, Pat. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. It's so nice to have you here today. I mean, you've seen the headlines in the coverage of your remarks, and so we're going to start there. I mean, there are definitely issues that are internal to education in Wisconsin, but there's some real external pressure, and it's reflected in headlines that had you taking note that the biggest schoolyard bully that Wisconsin schools face right now is our own federal government, is the Trump administration. It's a very assertive thing to say. Tell folks why that was a central part of your remarks.
Yeah, well, so the overall message from the State of Education address is that Wisconsin public education is a living story. It's written daily by students, educators, and communities. The themes in the State of Education were about belonging, love, community, pride in our communities. And what we're seeing right now is that the federal government is really trying to destroy that, right? They're taking away funding for teachers. They're taking away funding for special education students. The one that was in the headlines was students who are deafblind. They've threatened funding for school nutrition, programs in our schools. And so it's just really, they are the ones that are really causing a lot of chaos, I think, and uncertainty in our schools. Schools are wondering, are they going to get this money? And at the Department of Public Instruction, we're left to navigate that and stand up, you know, for our school districts, which is what we'll do anyway. But the federal government is really inserting themselves into the everyday operations of our schools and really threatening the good work that our schools are doing.
Especially for a group that says that all the time that they're looking to give education back to the states, they sure seem to find ways to continue to micromanage or to interfere. And you touched on one of them that really got my attention yesterday, as Up North News reporter Selena Heller was working on this story about how under Trump, the U.S. Department of Education is canceling funding that would go toward the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. And why is it being endangered like this? Because it falls under Donald Trump's definition of DEI, that you're singling out a group for help. In this case, children who are deaf and blind. Talk more about the program and its value, as well as the assertion that there's something divisive apparently about this.
Well, that's just it. It's just so arbitrary. I think, when they were going through these programs, they're just doing a find and search, you know, in the grants for anything that mentioned diversity or inclusion or equity. And the deafblind community, I mean, it's a very specific population, very vulnerable population, very specialized when it comes to instruction. And when you look at special needs or you look at the deafblind community, you know, as an example. I mean, what we do in public education is we try to ensure that every human has an opportunity to be included and belong in their communities. And so we provide specialized training. We provide, you know, this grant money provides specialized instruction, but also training for the teachers, materials, I mean, Braille. You know, so it's really just disheartening, and rather it's just cruel, to be honest, that they're just kind of, that they're doing this to our communities. I mean, they're just ripping things apart that we have spent time building and investing in over the years.
Well, we've had politicians doing that at the state level for some time as well. We're talking to Jill Underley, Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction, and you focused on that, about pulling resources away from our public schools in order to fund the, you know, the private voucher scheme that's going on and is taking up, you know, it's getting mighty close to a $1 billion price tag that I still think plenty of taxpayers around Wisconsin don't know about. What they know is that there are these referendums. All the time, these referendums, and you have some politicians that are painting the school districts as being greedy and having to raise taxes. And it feels like you're the one connecting the dots, saying there's a reason for these referendums, and it's not any kind of selfishness on the part of your local school board.
Yeah, I think people are starting to put it together. I mean, because the money is, you know, the money that the legislature puts in every year, you know, it is pie. I mean, if you want to think about it that way, it's just that the piece of the pie that goes to privatization just keeps getting larger. So therefore, even though the money might appear that, you know, the legislature is putting more money in every year, it's just that the portion that goes to our public school districts is getting smaller. And I do feel people are putting it together. I'm seeing a lot of signs of hope, you know, like, for example, like in the Green Bay area, they were able to put it on their tax bills, you know, how much money was going to private schools from their tax, from their property tax. So, I mean, I know people want this information on there. And my hope is that, you know, in the next few years, if the legislature is able to, you know, get more gains with more public school advocates in the legislature, that this will be on everybody's tax bill. It's just, transparency is so important in government. And I do see some signs of hope there.
As we talk about moving from the, you know, the 30,000 foot level of federal funds and state funds into the classroom itself, current practices, you know, technology, teaching methods, everything else, when you look at that part of the state of education in Wisconsin, are there things there that need particular investment, that need more of a focus than they've been getting these days, that where Wisconsin kids might risk falling behind if we're not funding, you know, something to its proper level, or not keeping our teachers trained or anything like that? Where are those opportunities?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. So as you're probably aware, but maybe your listeners are not, we did undergo a strategic planning process over the past couple of years, and we listened to people throughout Wisconsin about what they want in their public schools. And so we came up with four different pillars, and the one that I'll talk about right now, I mean, is the innovative education. We really need to start preparing kids for their future and not our past. I mean, when you think about how school is done in many ways, it's still done the same way as it was 50 to 100 years ago. And so we really need to start looking at innovation. We need to look at how we're able to meet students where they are and where they're going to go. I mean, technology is moving so fast right now, you know, and we need to expand, you know, personalized learning and competency-based learning in our schools. We need to use career pathways to our advantage. We need to improve access to learning opportunities and library resources. And our goal is to prepare kids for their future. We're also looking at educator recruitment and retention. We know that the number one indicator of a child's success in school at you know, when they're in the school is the quality of their teacher. And when we have, you know, this turnover with our teachers, when we are struggling to fill high need areas like math and science and global languages and special education, that's hurting kids. And that's hurting our future, you know, not just our economy, but I mean, just these humans, you know, their future. So we have to really look at and agree that strong schools need strong educators. And we know that we need to expand access to grow your own programs. We need to improve teacher compensation, mentorship, professional development. But going back to the federal aspect, this is an area that they are really leaning in on cutting funding for is our educator workforce.
It also sounds like people in the legislature, certain folks have wanted to stress standardized tests and the method of scoring and tracking that. There's been some back and forth in the legislature about that. How would you describe the current standardization test and grading process? Are there still changes that need to be made compared to where we are right now?
Yeah, I think that was the interesting criticism, I think, about my state of education. You know, is just that the speech was about, you know, belonging and community pride and the things that we need to do to make our schools stronger. And the opposition or the people who criticize it really are like, well, you know, she's just lowering standards. The thing is, it's like the test is just a one point in time. And it's always undergoing review. When you look at our standards are updated every 7 years. And it's not the same ones every year. So it's like, you know, math is done 1 year, literacy is another year, science is another year. And so it's like the test is constantly undergoing changes. And so you do have to update the metrics. And so it's, you know, that's one piece of it. But then the other piece of it is our school report card, our school and district report cards, which were put into place 15 years ago, and they're in state statute as far as what, you know, is measured. And so we did look at that for the first time in 15 years, and just to make sure that things are on track. It's kind of like when your computer undergoes an update, it always seems like, oh, it's at the worst time, or your phone has to download an update. But that's what we did with the state and district report cards, is that it was due to get an update and just make sure everything was aligned. But again, it's just one piece of information. We've got lots of other indicators, you know, of the health, I suppose, of our public schools.
And finally, you were recently elected to a second four-year term. There's going to be a change in the governor's office one way or another, a brand new governor. We right. won't know the makeup of the legislature, but with you being freshly elected, you're certainly positioned to be the most, I guess, fearless advocate is the right way. You've got the job security, essentially. How do you see your role over the next 4 years, the public-facing part of your role?
Look, I have never shied away from saying what I need to say or what needs to be said when it comes to public schools. I mean, that's always been my, you know, I guess, just one of my characteristics, right? And so what I'm going to continue to do is just continue to advocate for public schools. I'm going to continue to advocate for the things that I know work. You know, when we look at child development and we look at success academically, I mean, I talked about, you know, teachers and them being the number one indicator for academic success, but there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, school nutrition, making sure kids have access to mental health, but also health, medical health as well, and dental health too. And we also need to just continue to modernize our public education system. So I'm going to continue to speak out in favor of all of those.
Dr. Jill Underley, we've run out of time, but it was so nice to hear all about the state of education. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Much more in the 8 o'clock hour ahead of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. An effort by the Trump administration to force states to turn over personal data on food benefit recipients has been blocked by a federal court. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says the White House has proven it's not able to protect personal information. Last month, a whistleblower in the Department of Government Efficiency told Congress that a DOGE staffer uploaded a live set of Social Security information to an unprotected website, potentially leaking the personal information of 300 million people. The White House and the USDA were trying to get information like Social Security numbers and the last five addresses of every SNAP recipient in the country. The ruling in California federal court stops that collection while a full hearing is held on the lawsuit. A bill that would help first responders treat opioid overdoses is now on President Donald Trump's desk. Senator Tammy Baldwin authored the Safe Response Act. It gives $57 million per year until 2030 to help first responders help people during overdoses. Baldwin has been vocal about addiction struggles in her own family, and this bill was crafted with bipartisan input. The bill passed the Senate unanimously. Now it's waiting for the president's signature. Two sites serving Wisconsin veterans who are homeless are now closed. Veterans Housing and Recovery Program sites in Green Bay and Chippewa Falls closed September 12th due to a lack of funding. Program funding was not included in the final budget compromise between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican legislative leaders. Joey Hoya with the Department of Veterans Affairs updated a state Senate committee last week. Hoya said the Joint Finance Committee's Republican majority voted on June 12th to adopt a motion that did not include the funding for VHRP, calling that a pretty terrible day. Hoy said that with the help of veteran advocates, Lutheran Social Services, and others, DVA was able to provide all the veterans at Green Bay and Chippewa Falls with alternative options. The committee heard support from veterans groups for a bill from State Senate Andre Jacques to provide funding, but Hoy said the earliest that the Chippewa Falls location could reopen would be nearly a year from now. At the Capitol, proposed legislation calls for a major new investment in biofuels in Wisconsin. State Senator Mary Valskowski says state funding could facilitate a new plant located in Hayward to produce aviation fuel from woody biomass. During a Monday press conference at the Capitol, Valskowski said it would be an investment of about $200 million with enterprise tax credits from WEDC and about $150 million in bonding, and that bonding will be supported through the forestry account. Valskowski said the new plant to be built in conjunction with Germany's Synthia Fuels could bring 350 jobs to the area and over $1 billion in annual economic development. She said Minnesota and Michigan are also potential locations, so there's some urgency for Wisconsin to act. Henry Schenepek, executive director at Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association, noted forestry remains the number two industry in the state, and Wisconsin is still the nation's leading paper producer. He called the biofuels proposal a win-win. Health officials are advising residents to keep an eye out for animals like bats searching for new homes as temperatures begin to drop. As the colder weather sets in and animals like bats search for more protection, their risk of making accidental contact with humans and their pets increases. With an increase in accidental contact, the risk of people and pets contracting rabies from one of those animals also increases. If you do come into contact with a bat, you should try to recapture it and submit it to your local health department to test for rabies. A dramatic increase in fall-related emergency medical incidents in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services reports emergency medical services responded to 140,000 falls last year, an increase of nearly 10,000 fall-related calls from 2023. Falls accounted for 21% of all 911-related ambulance runs in 2024. DHS encourages you to take the proper steps to reduce fall risk severity for yourself and your loved ones. The Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging provides tools and information to understand fall risk and take steps to stay independent and safe at home and in the community. Check it out at fallsfreewi.org. The SSM Health St. Clair Foundation is now accepting applications for its Healthy Community Partnership Grants, which provide funding for projects, programs, and activities that advance the health and wellness of those living in the greater Baraboo, Lake Delton, Wisconsin Dells area. Those working on innovative ideas, collaborative projects, or programs who need seed money for implementation are encouraged to apply. Grants are awarded two times per year, spring and fall, with a maximum grant award of $2,000 each cycle. The SSM Health St. Clair Foundation Healthy Communities Partnership Grant Initiative began in 2007 and is funded by a portion of investment income earned from the foundation's endowment. The endowment also funds medical equipment for SSM Health St. Clair Hospital facilities, as well as local health care programs and services. To date, the foundation has awarded nearly $200,000 in healthy community partnership grants to community organizations and groups to promote well-being across the age spectrum. Eligible programs and activities for funding include, but are not limited to, health education, disease screening, fitness and wellness assessment and improvement, research speakers fees related specifically to health and wellness and serving the areas underserved. The project must impact residents in SSM Health St. Clair Hospital service area. Practitioners in all fields of health, educators and school districts, employers, civic organizations, and service clubs are encouraged to apply. Collaboration proposals are always welcome. The application deadline for the fall grant cycle is October 15th, with all monies awarded by December 15th. For more information regarding the Healthy Community Partnership Grant Program and to obtain a grant application, contact Julia Randles, SSM Health St. Clair Foundation Director, by phone at 608-356-1449. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. According to our affiliate in Dallas, WFAA, three people have been wounded at an ICE office. Police are searching for a possible sniper or several shooters. Sources say one person was found shot on the roof of a nearby immigration attorney's office, but there aren't any more details available right now. Jimmy Kimmel back on the airwaves last night after being suspended by ABC parent company Disney following comments Kimmel made about the person who may have killed Charlie Kirk.
Before Kimmel's return, Disney ABC saying it suspended the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment for our country. But the company citing days of thoughtful conversations with Jimmy and announcing his return.
ABC's Lana Moise, Disney parent company of ABC. President Trump saying NATO countries should shoot down Russian jets if they cross their borders. At the UN General Assembly, he also told Ukrainian President Zelensky he now thinks Ukraine can win back all the territory it's lost to Russia. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin is trying to bring back the division of the 988 crisis line that was specifically for LGBT.